Mark Mattson has joined us on Sports Byline USA. We're talking a little bit about his 9-year career in the NBA. You know, there's only a handful of athletes that I think fall into a category for me in which they're dumb like a fox. I think about Dennis Rodman. I think about a John Sally. And I think about Shaq. I think there's an image that goes along with guys that are big and kind of have a personality. And I'm just wondering about the misnomer as far as somebody like a Shaq, the perception of him compared to the reality. Your perspective on that?
Well, it's interesting because when we would be on flights, you know, Shaq was always he would find a book and he would be studying a book on the plane. And I remember I went to the back one time and he had some, I can't remember the exact topic, but Shaq was studying. He had already graduated from LSU and gone back for the ceremony, but he was using his free time to study, to better himself, to better his mind. And I mean, that's been a theme throughout his career. He went back and he got his MBA, and if I'm not mistaken, he's working on his PhD at this point. And you know, you look at a guy like Shaq that's accomplished so much on the court, and really amongst players, guys have tremendous respect for Shaq, what he brings to the table. His understanding of business, his understanding of sports, the way he gives commentary on NBA games now on TNT, the creativity, the originality. And it's Shaq is someone whose talents on the court are huge, but his talents off the court are huge in every way. And it's I consider it a huge privilege to have played alongside of him and to have seen kind of a little bit more of on the inside of what Shaq's like and how he spends his time.
What about the dichotomy with Kobe? Because Kobe seems to be a little more internal and intense as well, whereas Shaq reads, leaves his heart on his sleeve and his personality with that big smile.
You know, everyone's personality is different. Even when I think back to, you know, another great team I played on in Minnesota with Kevin Garnett, Latrell Sprewell, Sam Cassell, there couldn't be three different personalities. You know, Kevin Garnett, once the game starts, you know, he's so locked in. He's not going to laugh and joke with fans during the game. After and before, he will. But during the game, he's locked in. He's not going to laugh and joke with the opponent either. Whereas a guy like Sam Cassell is intense, and he's a great player, but he's not afraid. He's the type of guy that feels comfortable interacting with fans during games, laughing and joking with the refs, laughing and joking with opponents. But then when it comes time to go down to the post and score on somebody, he's going to do that. And so I think it's the same with Shaq and Kobe. Two different personalities, both very intense once they step onto the court. And that's really what I saw during my personal time in Los Angeles in terms of when they both stepped on the court, they were one in purpose. They wanted the same thing. They wanted to continue to win championship rings.
I've always felt, knowing Bill Walsh as I did, the magical part about him is he knew how to push the buttons on the players at the right time. And I think the same thing could be said for Phil Jackson. What is it that he did so well that got the most out of the Lakers?
You know, I'll never forget one thing that Phil Jackson said. I believe it was game two of the 2001-2002 NBA Finals against Philadelphia. He had just gone through the whole pregame report. And he brought everyone into the middle, and normally, you know, somebody says, team on three, one, two, three, team, you know. But before that happened, Phil said to Shaq, he said, hey, Shaq, can you go out and get a block tonight? Can you go out and get a block shot? And that that made Shaq so mad in that moment. Shaq didn't even put his hand in for the break. But Shaq went out and got a number of block shots. I think he got five or six block shots that night. And, you know, Shaq would go back at Phil, and they really had a give-and-take relationship, a relationship with great respect one for another. But Phil had the ability to know how to motivate different players by saying different things at different times. I'll never forget this either. After a game in Houston, Phil got on some of the guys because, you know, he had felt like maybe some guys were out at a celebration a little bit late into the evening. And so Phil got upset after we had lost that game in Houston. But then the next day in San Antonio, Phil brought everybody in. And he told the whole team, he said, fellas, I might have got on you guys a little bit too hard last night about maybe I didn't know all the facts about the party the night before. But I'll tell you this, each one of you in this locker room has a strong will. And I've been asked to do a job contractually here in Los Angeles. And I have to have a strong will too, because if the coach doesn't have a strong will, you guys will walk right all over me. And he was basically saying, hey, look, I'm the coach. I let you guys police yourselves a lot, but I'm going to get on you, but I've got a strong will too. And if you go too far, I'm going to let that be known.
I got to believe that there's a Dancing with the Stars in your future after watching. Tell me a little bit about that victory parade and your dance steps.
It's like one of my professors at the business school told me. His name is Irv Grossbeck. He actually owns a good chunk. He and his son are the primary owners of the Boston Celtics. He told me, in this day and age, he's amazed when people remember him for anything. And that's what he told me about the dance. He said, Mark, be glad they remember you for anything. And so that's my answer. You know, with the tremendous support of Los Angeles, with all the great teams that have gone through there, I'm just happy they remember me for something fun. And, if I could go back in time, I'm just glad they didn't ask me to sing.
You know as well as I do, Mark, that players will tell you, no matter what their individual stats are, that really the thing that they cherish the most is by being able to get a championship ring. You have two of those, and you, when you reflect back on the fact that you've got two of them, what do they mean to you, given your career and how you've loved and had a passion for basketball?
Well, for me, the championship rings, first of all, I acknowledge, look, any person in my spot would be extremely fortunate and extremely lucky, because you're talking about one of the greatest teams of all time. Shaq, Kobe, Rick Fox, Derek Fisher, Robert Horry. I mean, that team was amazing to be part of. And there's 100 other guys that could have been drafted by the Lakers and gone in fast spots. So, number one, I feel fortunate. Number two, I just feel very grateful, because when I think back on, when I reflect back, when I look at the ring, when I show the ring to others, if they ask me to see them, I think about the personal relationships. You know, to this day, I stay in touch with a number of guys from the team, and it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to see as life unfolds. You know, I was in touch recently with Horace Grant, and, you know, Horace Grant is a tremendous family man. He and his family live outside of Santa Barbara, and you know, he's spending a lot of time with his wife and kids. And I think at some point, when the time is right, I think he'll get back into coaching. Or he's doing business things also, but I think he has a passion for the game. I love seeing what Shaquille is doing in terms of expanding his talents in analysis of the games. And, you know, I love hearing what Shaq has to say on TNT, because he shared a lot of things with me personally that helped me in my game. I'll never forget the one playoff series that I started was against the Minnesota Timberwolves, and I was lined up against Kevin Garnett in game one. And I was nervous. I was really nervous, because Kevin Garnett obviously was and is one of the best players in the NBA. And Shaq came up to me and said, hey man, don't try to do too much out there. Don't try to do too little. And you know, it's a simple thing to say, but to be honest, it really impacted me at the time, because part of me at that time wanted to just melt into the background and let Shaq and Kobe and everyone else score all the points. But then Shaq said, don't do too little. Basically telling me, hey, you better be aggressive out there. You better take the ball to the hole. You better try to score on whoever's guarding, whether it's Kevin Garnett, Joe Smith, or Gary Trent.
We have about 90 seconds before we have to break. You mentioned about Kevin Garnett, a teammate of yours when you were at Minnesota, and he had a quiet leadership about him, and I heard the story in which you talked about when you were injured, how he came to you, didn't call you out, but came to you and kind of gave you some direction. Tell me that story briefly.
You know, Kevin Garnett came to me one-on-one. I had a severe injury, and I was recuperating from it. And basically, in the organization at that time, guys could travel on the road to those cities where they knew people or had friends, where they wanted to go. And so I had gone to Salt Lake City. I have family and friends in Salt Lake. I had chosen not to go to Atlanta, where I don't really know anyone. And Kevin approached me. He approached me not in a way to call me out in front of the entire team, but he basically told me, hey, Mark, you need to either come with us on all the road trips or not come at all. He said, I'll support whatever you decide, but I don't want you picking and choosing where you're going and where you're not going, because it's a distraction. And, you know, he was a straight shooter with me, and I appreciated that. And in the same way he was a straight shooter with me, I've seen him be a straight shooter with a lot of guys over the years in Minnesota.
We've got about 30 seconds before we break here, but leadership is a very interesting quality. Some people think it's the guy that's got the outgoing personality. Not always the case. How would you define it, Mark?
Well, the guys that I've listened to over the years and the guys that really are the ones that I would run through a brick wall for, number one, it's guys when you really feel that someone cares about you as a person, wants you to develop, and wants you to succeed. I think if you can feel that from someone, if a leader can exhibit that those qualities towards others, I think that, you know, people are going to want to go to bat for that person. People are going to want to work with that person.
Mark Mattson has joined us on Sports Byline. We're going to talk about some other interesting aspects of his life. We'll continue talking a little bit of basketball. He's an assistant coach at Stanford, which is his alma mater. We'll talk about his career there down on the farm. We do that as we continue across the country and around the world. We've got you on America's Sports Talk Show.